interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
This is the Awakening Podcast with Michael Kibiski.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Awakening Podcast. I am your host, Michael Kibiski. Welcome, 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 everyone. Yep, this is our latest episode podcast. I hope you got to listen to our last one with our first guest ever on the podcast, and that was Jack Vale. He's a Christian comedian. Well, not a Christian comedian. He's a comedian that is a Christian, and as well as producer. He's produced a lot of things. If you haven't able to listen to that podcast, I highly encourage you to go back and actually listen to that. It's awesome. And so we're kind of doing something a little different here at the Awakening Podcast. We are doing something like where we're basically kind of like every other episode, then we will have a guest, hopefully, if we can. We're going to try that out, see how that goes. But right now, I have a new podcast, and this is it. And you're listening to it right now as we speak. Ba-dum-da. You know, how is that a coincidence? It is called Worship, A Foretaste of Heaven. And thank you for listening to it. I appreciate it so much. Do us a favor here. Do us a favor by basically sharing this podcast with someone who needs encouragement, especially about worship and everything like that. Just if someone needs an encouragement, just share this with them. It'd be awesome. And then on top of it, I would like you to write I know you probably don't like writing. Just please write me a review. That would be great. Whatever podcast platform you're on. Subscribe as well, because if you subscribe, you get that little notification when we publish. And yeah, you can tell when a new podcast episode comes out. So all right, we're gonna get right into it about worship. All right, so sit back and whatever you're doing, do whatever you're doing and just listen to the podcast. Thank you so much.
All right.
Hey guys, it's me here, Michael Kibiski, and not like it's a surprise to you. I'm the host of the podcast and everything, as well as I'm doing the preaching on here, you know, you heard? And so this podcast is very important to me. Very, 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 very important to me, because I am a worshiper. And I love to worship God with all my heart, with all my mind, and all my strength. I just love it. I love worship. Worship is so awesome. It's so intimate between myself and God. I just love to worship God. And to me, personally, I want to tell you this. When I see people who don't worship and they just cross their arms and they fold their arms and they're just standing there like the frozen chosen, as a lot of churches, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but there are a lot of people out there in the churches who are the kind of the frozen chosen type of people who are just folding their arms and just not even worshiping. They're just standing there listening to the worship music. And I don't know if they want to be entertained or what it is, but I don't know. Personally, that hurts me inside, being a worshiper. And yeah, I just wanted to get that out there. There in the open. But I'm just going to do one of the most important things that I like to do in this podcast. Not a lot of people who have Christian podcasts do this. But yet, not a lot of people preach on their own podcast. It's mostly a talk kind of podcast is what they do, kind of a talk show, kind of like I did last week. And that's all they do for their podcast. And that's cool and everything. But or there's also just churches where they put their sermons on there. And that's what they do as well too. That's cool. But there's not a lot of podcasts that basically have a person actually preaching on the podcast, really. And so that's kind of wanted to create this podcast as something different, something unique. And something unique is starting to open with prayer for a podcast. And so I want to do that. Lord, I just thank you for the people that are listening to this podcast, God, that subscribe to this podcast, Lord. I thank you for everyone who is listening to this, God, whether they know you or they don't know you. If they're a believing believer or if they're just a non-believing believer, Lord. And Lord, I just want these words to be that I speak to the people who are listening, God, to be your words through me, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, I ask you to anoint me in this time of this podcast, Father God. I ask for you to have your way, Father God, in me, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for everything that you've done, Lord. Oh, Lord, everything that you're doing right now at this very moment, Father God. Even though the future's unsure, Lord, I thank you for what you are doing. And I thank you, God, for what you're about to do. I thank you for that there's going to be a great harvest that is coming. And it's ripe. And the harvest is going to be coming home. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, Lord. Amen. All right, guys. So, I know this whole opener was pretty long. But it's cool. It's worth it, right? Right, guys? Right, everyone? all right. So, here we go. And this is... worship is a foretaste of heaven. All right, guys. Worship is a foretaste of heaven. Worshiping here on earth is a practice for heaven. You know, not all, but mostly in heaven, what we will be doing in heaven is worshiping at the feet of Jesus. So, we should start practicing here on earth, even if we don't feel like it. You know, I was in a youth choir, and I had a choir director. His name was Steve Severin. Shout out to you, Steve. And he was awesome. He was such a cool guy. And is such a cool guy. I'd like to see him again sometime. I think he is a pastor, or he might be a worship pastor, something like that, in California. But there was a lot of youth there. Where, well, of course, it was the youth choir, and basically, there's a lot of the youth who didn't really feel like worshiping God at all. Didn't feel like, even being there. And because of some circumstances that they were dealing with. And thing he would always tell us was, if you don't feel like worshiping God, just do it. Just fake it. And then what would happen is when you faked it, you know, the Holy Spirit would basically come upon you when you faked it. And then you would really want to worship God. And that was such great advice. Such great advice. And so I'm passing that on to you. I'm passing that little oomph, kind of a, I guess you could say, pep talk from him to me to you. So thank you, Steve, if you're out there listening. I appreciate it so much. It's stuck with me all these years. I love you, Ben. I love you. That's awesome. So awesome. But I want to read to you something. Revelation 7:9. This is a message Bible. The MSG. I guess. Yeah, I really don't necessarily like that. Excuse me. Oof. We'll edit that out. I really don't necessarily like the Message Bible because it's kind of more of a, I don't know if you could say a really additive, but yeah, it's called, the abbreviation is MSG. I don't want no MSG. But this verse is really good, what this is talking about. But so Revelation 7:9 says, I looked again. I saw a huge crowd, too huge to count. Everyone was there, all nations and tribes, all races and languages. And they were standing, dressed in white robes and waving palm branches, standing before the throne and the Lamb, and heartily singing, salvation to our God on his throne. Salvation to the Lamb. All who were standing around the throne, angels, elders, animals. Here it says animals right there. That's pretty cool. They all fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, oh yes, the blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, the honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Oh yes. You know what? The book of Psalms, you know, it's not just poetry, if you didn't know that. The book of Psalms is not just poetry. If you read it and study it, oh, God help you. But it's long. It's 100 and over 100, I don't know off the top of my head, and I don't want to look it up, but it's over 100 books in the Bible. You may know. It's not just poetry, friends. The book of Psalms is a book of songs written from David to God to please him. It's awesome. It's so cool. I just love Psalms. It's helped inspire me, actually, even to write some of the lyrics before. I used to write lyrics, and I stopped for a while, and I haven't picked it back up. But maybe that's something God wants me to do. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes we don't want to worship. I understand. There's certain times that I haven't felt like worshiping. But then, I don't know, the Holy Spirit just picks me up and fills my heart. I can feel the Holy Spirit upon me, especially in our church services. And then I just really, really want to worship. He helps me worship. The Holy Spirit will help you worship. And there's a song that you've probably heard. It's a really popular song right now. And it's called Waymaker. I'm going to read to you some of the lyrics. Because it's important. So, the song goes, "You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are." And that just repeats itself on that part, like one time. And it goes, "That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. You are turning lives around. You are here, oh, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You mend every heart. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're here, Waymaker." It repeats the chorus. Then it goes, "Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker." It keeps on repeating that part. And then the bridge goes, This is who you are. Sing, this is who you are. It keeps on going. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Keeps on repeating that part. And that goes into the chorus again. And then the actual verse part, I think this might be the actual bridge. I'm not really good with music where to find the bridges, unfortunately. But I think this is the bridge. It goes, "Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are." Then it goes, "Let's sing together, even when I don't see it coming, even when I don't see it, you are working, even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working, you never stop working. You know, even when you don't feel like worshiping God, he's still working. Even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel it, he is still working in you." And which brings me to this. So like I was talking about earlier, about how I am a worshiper and I love to worship. You know, it really hurts my heart to see people not worship God. Just sit there with their arms folded, crossed, and just sitting there like they want to be entertained. And you know what, friends? That is, if you're constantly doing that in a worship service, what are you there for? What are you really there for in the worship service? Are you there to be entertained? Or are you there to worship God? Because that's what a worship service is. How do I put that in layman's term? That's what worship is. That's the part of the service where we worship God. Not entertained by musicians, the lights or the smoke. The lights and the smoke are you know, I get it. We're in the 21st century. That's cool to have and everything, but that is not what we're there for. We're not there for the lights or for the smoke. That's just a side type of thing. Just, I don't know. It's the 21st century. It's something new that we do. Jeez. And we're not there to be entertained. We're there to worship God. We are there to thank God for everything He has done for us through the heart of the trials that we have in our lives. You know, you've probably been through a lot of things like I have. We all have our own story. And, you know, sometimes we forget what God has done for us. And we need to remember the things that God has done for us in our lives. We just need to thank Him. He has given us so much that we need to give back to Him. We need to give back to Him for everything He has done for us. And that is what worship is for. That's what worship is for. Worship is to give back. And yes, some people will say by giving, and in some extent I do agree with that, but that's not all. That is not all by giving our tithes and our offerings. By pouring out our life and our heart to God, and our worship, our adoration to God, our thanksgiving to God, that is very important. Also, worship is surrender. Worship is surrender. Worship is surrendering all that we are to God. You know, it has to do with repentance as well. Lifting up our hands in worship is basically a sign of surrender. You know, it's like when you're in war, and you wave up the white flag, like the other country waves up the white flag, or when a person is being arrested, they told them to put their hands up. And the reason why they told them to put their hands up, side of the war, the other country waves the white flag is because they surrender. And that's what we need to do. We need to surrender everything we are, everything that we've done, everything that so we just need to surrender all to God. There's a song called "I Surrender All." I surrender all. All to Jesus, precious Jesus. I don't know the lyrics by heart, but I know part of them. I surrender all. That's what worship is. Worship is surrender. So now I want to go into this part. We are created by God to worship. You and I were created to worship. But it all matters who you worship. Worship is what we are made for. Romans 11, verse 36 through 12:1. And 12:1. So Romans 11:36, it says, "For everything comes from Him, and exists by His power, and is intended for His glory. All glory to Him forever. Amen." And then Romans 12:1, it says, "A living sacrifice to God." And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice, living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. Worship is when you give all of yourself to or for the glory of a person or thing. Worship is when you give all of yourself to, for, the glory of God. You can end up worshiping the worship experience rather than God. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and life was good, and they lived in a solid community with God until they sinned, and they were cast out of the garden. Since that point, sin entered the world, but the sin was just the byproduct of something deeper going on. You see, the problem was that Adam and Eve shifted their worship from glorifying God and redirected it to their own desires. They sacrificed the peace and the tranquility that God had given them in the pursuit of knowledge. This is where we find all humans today. Christian or not, battling it out which way to direct their worship. So, the entire human race worships, actually. Did you know that? You have to worship someone. Some people would say, like, no way, I don't worship anything. Well, what about work? What about money? What about sex, power, kids? Our spouses, maybe even our pastors, our worship leaders, or even this, apostles and prophets. Everyone is a worshiper. The question is, are you going to direct your worship to the Creator God or created things? I guess there's a TV show. I'm not really too much familiar about it, but I heard about it. And there's a TV show, and there was a person on that show that said these words. I don't know what I do without sports. It's my savior. The TV show is called Eternal Glory. I've never heard of it myself, but maybe you have. I don't know. I want to go back a little bit to what I just said about worshiping things. There's even people that actually even worship the earth. They make the earth their god and everything, you know, climate change, you know, this climate pledge, the Paris climate pledge thing. Yeah, okay. That's another subject. I won't grab onto that. But when we allow our worship to get redirected from Jesus, we fall into sin. And when we worship something else, we are effectively making the thing or a person a god, little g, actually, in our lives. And that is what the Bible calls idolatry. Lots of people think that idolatry is just making a weird golden calf or whatever, you know, that's part of it. But when we move our worship to anything, it's when we basically make our worship other than Jesus, we create idolatry. Do you have any idolatry maybe in your heart? If you would, it'd be great to bring that to Jesus, to bring that to him and, surrender that to him. You know, remember we could still praise someone for doing something, and that's a call encouragey. That's a new word. I just made it up. It's called encouragey. It's actually called encouragement is what I'm trying to say. And I'm talking about worship, which is constantly living your life to give glory to a person or thing that turns and creates a functional savior.
you know, what is your functional saver? Is the things that I mentioned, are those your functional saver? Or is God your functional saver? Is Jesus your functional saver? So we are created to worship, but God didn't create a bunch of us robots, you know, to worship him. He gave us the choice as to where we would worship. Each day we worship decisions like the ones I have previously mentioned, which leads me into... I feel that this is an important point. We are made to worship, not to be worshipped. Now, there are pop stars, to prophets, to pastors that are stumbling right now, and they're falling off the deep end all over the world. And, you know, I've heard something just recently about, Carl Lentz did. I just heard something about his pastor, his former pastor, of Hillsong, the pastor of Hillsong. He has allegations against him and everything. But, you know, I've heard Rob Bell, he fell off the deep end. And why are people, why is this happening? I personally believe because it's we are not to receive the worship that these guys get. And make no mistake, people do worship celebrities. Lance Armstrong said, "I'll do anything to win." He loved the glory and the worship that he was receiving. And, you know, we all know how the story ended. And I just recently, side note here, I just recently saw his ex-wife, the Gorge in George Washington. She was actually at a. I was at the concert. She was singing at, and Sheryl Crow, you know. But anyways, enough with that. It's rabbit trail. You know, I wonder if someone like Paul from the Bible dropped. If someone like Paul from the Bible dropped into our Western culture now, what would he say? What would he say? Who would he say that we worshipped? You know, worshiping Jesus. So we are left really simply with two choices to worship. We can worship God, or we can worship other things, or people, or the planet, or all those other things I mentioned. That's idolatry. And you're going to ask me, why should I choose Jesus? Number one, you should choose Jesus because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. Jesus doesn't take, he gives. All things, you know, all of these other things, in order to worship, we take it, it takes something from us. Relationships, health, identity, etc. Jesus gives lives. Jesus laid down his life for you without moment's hesitation so that you can live with abundance and fulfillment. First Peter 3:18, it says, "For Christ also died for sins once and for all, and just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been there put to death in flesh, but alive in the spirit." And number two, why you should choose Jesus? Because he'll never fail you. If we choose to worship something else, then that thing we will ultimately fail. It'll let you down. It can let you down. You could lose all your money, your job, your kids. You know, your kids leave home someday, etc. But when you choose Jesus, he never fails you, and he'll never you can never lose them. Romans 8:39 says, none of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing, living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of that way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. That's the Message Bible. Hey, the Message Bible. Read it again. MSG. But, oh well. Hebrews 3:5 says, Jesus promises, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. When people see what you truly value is Jesus, it has massive impact. And number three, why you should choose Jesus? Because he will satisfy you. He will satisfy you more than any earthly thing could. Psalms 90, chapter 90, verse 14, it says, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, and that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Then Psalm 107, verse 8 through 9 says, let him give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Verse 9 says, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with all good things. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 5. It's 25. It says, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. And number four, why why you should choose Jesus? It's because we get the joy that goes beyond anything you know. Sometimes we may just jump up and down during a praise time on a Sunday, or even get so joyful inside just hearing the name of Jesus. And why is that? Well, it's because at that moment, you are connecting to the very reason why you were made. It's you starting to turn and to see who Jesus is, redirecting your worship back to Jesus, who satisfies you more than anything else could, who delights in you. Let me just say that God is never sorry for creating you. God is never sorry for dying on the cross for you. Let me say that again. God is never sorry for creating you. God is never sorry for dying on the cross for you. As you, actually, I should say. Because he died as you. He died with you. He died for your sins. He doesn't regret doing that because he loves you. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they didn't run after God saying, we're sorry. God was in the garden chasing after them. God loves us. God loves us. And he seeks after us. And we are tempted to worship something else. God will send the Holy Spirit to say, wait, don't worship that thing. It doesn't give us the joy that you think it will. It doesn't bring joy like Jesus does. This is our conviction. And the famous author, C.S. Lewis, he said, the most obvious fact about praise whether God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought in term of completement, approval, or giving honor. I have never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise unless shyness or boring others deliberately brings it back in check. The world rings with praise. It is what we delight to do. Indeed, we can't help doing about everything we value. Why do we delight in praise? Because our joy isn't complete until it is expressed. If we could see how much you've done, your power, your might, your endless worth, then surely we would never cease to praise. And if you pursue Jesus, you will do this. What gives you the most joy deep down? What gives you the most joy deep down? For the Christian, the answer has to be Jesus, whether that is really deep down or bubbling near the surface or overflowing. And that's okay as we mature in Christ and joy becomes more and more dominating future in our lives. How we mature in Christ, we need to take that joy and learn to express it more and more through song, worship, maybe worship nights, through reading His Word, and allowing it to astound you. We are all made as worshipers, not to be worshipped, but to worship. Where are you going to place your worship? For some of us may look back, we might look back and have regrets on how we've lived for Jesus each day. Is there anything, person, or subject in your life that from time to time has become more important than Jesus? So as I pray on here, you're going to have a chance to repent. You're going to have a chance to repent to Jesus for the things that you've worshipped that are more important to God, such as just all the idolatry type things that you put in front of God rather than worshiping Him, God, like we should. So I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, God, for the people who are here, God, listening to this podcast. And Lord, I know that they really want to worship you, Father God, that they really want to worship you, God. But God, that they repent, God, of their sin, Father God, that they repent of idolatry, that they put other things before you. They've opened the door of their heart to maybe TV, maybe entertainment, maybe sports, anything, God, that they put in front of you, God, before you, Father God, and God, they repent, Father God. They repent for the things that they've done, Father God, and that they put you first, Father God. They place you number one in their life, Father God. I pray, Father God, that they would come to know you more, God. That they would become a believing believer, Father God. God, that they would come to know you more, the God, that they would have a personal encounter with you like they've never had before. Lord Jesus, thank you, God, that you never let us go, that you're there chasing after us, Father God, and you have your arms wide open, ready for us to jump inside of your heart and your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that nothing will separate us from you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord.
If you pray that prayer of repentance with me, you know what I'd like you to do? I'd like you to personally email me at michaelkubisky@yahoo.com. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you, and that'd be so awesome. Shoot me a personal note. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. It'd be so great. We need to have a heart of repentance, and as well as a heart of worship. Heart of worship to worship God like we've never worshipped Him before. And now is the time to worship. If any time is now, with the things that are going on inside of America, now is the time to worship, to fall down onto our knees and just say, God, I give you all, I surrender all to you. Now is the time to worship, my friends. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Until next time, remember, one God, one peace, one hope. I love you guys. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Awakening Podcast with Michael Kubisky. Please like, subscribe, and share this podcast to all your social media platforms. Remember, one love, one hope, one God. Have a blessed day.